anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Thank you, Duane. Well done. In your bulletin, there is a little orange piece of paper I want to draw attention to for just a moment, and that is the annual trick or trunk, or trunk and treat. I can never figure out. I brought this thing here, and I can't even figure out what I named it. It's going to be happening on the 27th of October. This is an annual event in which we can reach out to our community, and we have invited Northland Community Church to participate with us this year. I would love to see 25 or 30 cars out there. And I would love for us to get that out there and to dress up. And this year, I'm always anxious to see what Bob and Lois dress up as, because they are just amazingly creative people. It's fun always to see what we can come up with and decorate our cars and whatever. And if you can let your friends and family know who have children, this is a very safe environment in a time and age where trick-or-treat often becomes a little bit anxious because you don't know what people are going to do. You don't know how people are going to behave. You don't know what kind of things that they are going to achieve, and you don't know what kind of children are out there also. And this is a place where you can come. It's safe. We're going to have some extra activities going on, and we would love to have you participate with this. And so if you can, just make sure that you sign it out either this week or next week, but we'd like to have as many people as we can there in doing this. And so I would appreciate that. Thank you very much. Kind of remind you of what we're doing this fall. We started in the beginning of September talking about what are the steps of discipleship. You'll notice that in the Bible, the word disciple is used 269 times. The word Christian is used 3. Now, Christians are supposed to be disciples, but disciple is to follow Jesus. We are to become like Jesus. We are to become someone who imitates everything that he does. The whole work of Sam Johns is to create people who are just like Jesus. Isn't that the essence of what you do? You create people to become Jesuses in their community, to incarnate the faith, to do everything and to act in his way. We are to be little Christ. That's what Christians mean. And so when Jesus talks about in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, we are to bring all the world as disciples, not as converts, as disciples. Whole different picture. We aren't just to get them to say yes to Jesus. We are to get them to follow him. And once in a while, it's a good idea to find out what it costs. So let's pray together. Almighty and gracious God, the word disciple is before us. It has been all this fall. We have received your body and your blood. You have shown us firsthand what you expect of us. You have given us words repeatedly that we know in your Bible. We have read the words in the Gospels. We have seen what is said in your servants in the letters. Father, there is a tendency sometimes we just don't take it seriously. I pray that you would open our eyes and melt our hearts and do what's necessary. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you ever look back on the dreams you had? You know, I always had the dream. I always want to play the piano. I've always wanted to play the piano. I thought it would be great to play the piano. You have to practice. I've always wanted to run fast and far. Do you know, if you're going to run a 5-mile race, you know what you have to do? You have to run. My parents gave me a trumpet. I thought it would be really cool to play the trumpet. You have to play the trumpet a lot. Have you ever noticed that? If you're going to be good at it, you got to play it a lot. My parents gave me a guitar. I was so excited to play the guitar. It hurts. Hurts my fingers. I like golfing. I've always wanted to break 80 and not in the first 5 holes. I mean, I've wanted to break 80, you know, over 18. And people who break 80, they play golf a lot. I just don't have the opportunity to play a lot. If you're going to speak Spanish or Swedish, or you're going to fly a plane, or you're going to run the Ironman triathlon, or if you're going to play second base for the Tigers, if you're going to do some kind of monumental goal, it requires work and dedication. It requires sacrifice. It requires, it just makes me tired. Isn't it amazing how many of these things that we think are special require some kind of sacrificial behavior on our part? Like somehow we have to go do something that is uncomfortable. Malcolm Gladwell says, if you want to become an expert in anything, you can. It only takes 10,000 hours. 10,000 hours. Think about that. Probably takes 3 years. Dedicated, concentrated work to become an expert in anything. The problem is that so often we don't want to give what it takes. We don't want to expend what's necessary. We don't want to pay the price. Interesting thing to me about Christianity is when we talk about people becoming a Christian, one of the things that we talk about is it's free. It's absolutely free. It's easy to become a Christian. All you have to do is say yes. We never quite talk about what it is to follow Jesus afterwards. Jesus talks a lot about it. He talks a lot about it. And one of the questions that we ask is, what are we going to give up? What are we willing to sacrifice? What is it that we're willing to drop in order to follow Jesus? What sacrificial behavior are you willing to make as a disciple? We don't like Christianity to be demanding. We like it in its little cul-de-sac in our lives. It's like a little extra room that we sort of tie off. You know, I've got my family room, I've got my kitchen, I've got my bedroom, and I got my little Jesus room. And I go into my Jesus room when I want a Jesus fix, and I go into my Jesus room when I want to pray and I feel better. And Jesus says, no. I'm not a room. I'm not just your house. I'm your world. I'm everything. If you want to know what it costs to be a disciple, just look back what Dwayne read for us this morning. Jesus is around Jerusalem. He's traveling. He's kind of going in and out. And he looks behind him, and there is an enormous crowd of people following, because following Jesus is a lot of fun. He does incredible miracles. He is more interesting than any teacher that they have ever come across. They like following Jesus. He heals them, he teaches them, and he decides at that point maybe he needs to understand what's going on. And he turns around to them and says, hey, listen, before you go too far on this little journey, you need to have an idea of what's going on here. You need to know what is going to come. Because we're right here now in chapter 14, and pretty soon in chapter 19, I'm going to enter the city of Jerusalem, and then it's going to get a bit chaotic. And it's going to get a little wild. Do you have any idea what you're buying into? Do you have any idea what it means to be a disciple? And he says to them, and he says, if anyone follows me, comes after me, wants to be my disciple, if any of you wants to do that, here's what you have to do. You have to hate mother, father, wife, children, sister, brother, and even your own life. And we're all sitting there, and we're all kind of wrapped in on that word called hate. You know, we kind of grab a hold of that word, and we think, I can't hate mommy. I don't want to hate dad. Well, dad's kind of a pain. That might be easier. But I don't want to hate my wife. I don't want to hate my children. I don't want to hate, you know, and it kind of goes through the list. And we kind of fail to understand what he's talking about. He's not speaking 21st century English. He's speaking first century Greek. And the word he uses is missio. Missio is a word that means you have to love them less. Remember when God said, Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated, and everybody goes, well, Jesus, kind of a jerk attitude to have, God. What's with that? He says, no, I love Jacob more than I love Esau. I love Jacob more than I love Esau. You have to love me. I have to be the priority. I have to go ahead of mom and dad, sister and brother, wife, children. I have to go ahead even your own life. I have to be number one without any competitive nature at all. I am your priority. I am your ultimate. If there is a conflict between following me and your parents, I win. If there's a conflict between your wife and following me, I win every time. Not a question. I win. I'm always the one who wins. I am your highest priority. I have to have the ability to be the priority in your life over everything, even what you want to do, even what benefits you, even what you think is necessary for your life. If that's a conflict with me, I win. I win. I'm not sure many of us understand that. I'm not sure many of us understand that because in our day and age, we do things according to our convenience. Well, we're going to come to church today. Why? Well, you know, we got nothing else going on. I'm going to read my Bible this morning. Why? Well, I got up early and I've got some time and I don't. Well, it's not like I'm reading my Bible this morning. Yeah, but the ride is here. No, I'm sorry. I'll find something else. I'm reading my Bible this morning. I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to go to lunch and read my Bible. Yeah, but there's a client you need to talk to. Nope, I'm sorry. I set this time aside. I'm going to do this. Whenever there is a conflict between anything and my God always wins. I don't really see that attitude as being prevalent in our life. I don't see it prevalent in my life. We're all kind of used to organizing and having our lives sort of conveniently oriented around our desires, and we fit God in on the edges. And God says, I'm not an edge God. I'm the center God. I'm right in the middle. And Jesus said, if you can't do that, such a person cannot be my disciple. And you're thinking, wow, that's kind of a either-all attitude, isn't it? And Jesus said, that's the point. It's an either-all attitude. You're either following me or you're not following me. And if you're going to follow me, you're all in. Without question, you are all in. Do you understand that? And the thing is that Jesus says this before anybody starts following him. I want you to know ahead of time. I want you to know what you're getting involved in. I don't want you to go into this without having all the information. If you're going to follow me, this is what's expected. You have to do this or you cannot be my disciple. I like to define a Christian that is somebody who is radically committed to the person, the purpose, and the body of Jesus Christ. I am radically committed to the salvation of Jesus Christ, the lordship of Jesus Christ, and the body of Jesus Christ. I buy the entire package. If you want to follow me, this is it. If you can't do this, don't follow me. And then he takes it up and notches it up in either one. Then he says, and whoever doesn't carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Matthew adds a little extra details in chapter 6. He says to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up their cross. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What good is it if you gain the entire world and forfeit your soul or yourself? Or what can anyone give in exchange for your soul or yourself? You have to die to yourself. Do you have any idea how radical attitude that is for this day and age? Do you have any idea how narcissistic and self-centered our culture is right at this moment? We don't like waiting. We don't like being inconvenienced. We don't like not having it the way we want. We don't like that people somehow aren't ready to give us our every dream and every need. We are told repeatedly that whatever we want, we should have. How we want it, when we want it, and where we want it. And Jesus says, no, no. The most radical thing a Christian can say is it's not about me. If you can't die to yourself, if you cannot take up your cross and you cannot give up everything and follow me, well, you can't follow. You just can't follow. And then he tells these really incredible two little stories. One's about construction and the other is about warfare. And the first one is, look, how many of you, which one of you, suppose one of you, once upon a time, you're going to build a tower. How many of you build a tower without sitting down and saying, oh, what's it going to cost? What's in the bank? Do I have enough? Do I have to go borrow a loan? What do I have to get? How many of you start building without knowing what the tower costs? Because if you do that and you lay the foundation and you can't build anymore, everyone's going to walk around and say, ha, ha, look at him. What an idiot. The word is mock. The word is ridicule. The word is deride. He said, well, look at that guy. Did you see that? How many of you ever walked by one of those old buildings that they got halfway up and they never finished it? They kind of abandoned it. Y'all go over there and you go, huh, story there. There's a story. Jesus said, don't do that. If you're following me, you've got to count the cost. And then he says, which one of you, suppose one of you were king. And they're all going, well, I like that. Suppose one of you were a king and all of a sudden you were about to go to war. Suppose you were about to go in and you were going to enter into the military issue in Syria. Do you think you're not going to sit down and question what the cost is going to be? Do I have enough army? Do I have enough supplies? Am I willing to get involved into that little morass? What about the other geopolitical figures in the area? Do I really want to deal with Russia? Do I really want to make my allies angry? Do I really want to get the ire of the entire Arab community up against me again? Doesn't anybody sit down and think about the cost and think about the ramifications and think about how good an idea this is before they put the toe in the water? Jesus said, if you are going to war with the king and you've got 10,000 troops, you need to think long and hard if you can do that against somebody who has twice the troops you do. And if you don't think you can do that, you better get over and send an ambassador or an embassy, or you better send someone over there and ask for, and the NIV translates it, terms of peace. The Greek says, surrender. You had better surrender. In the same way, verse 33. How many of you have verse 33 underlined in your Bible? How many of you have it on your kitchen? Isn't that one of those verses you always want to have right on your screensaver? You know, here it is. What makes you feel good? If I can't give up everything, I can't follow Jesus. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have, you can't be my disciple. Think about that. The price tag of following Jesus is everything. They didn't tell you that, did they? I've been to a lot of crusades. I've been to a Billy Graham crusade. I've been to a Lowell Lundstrom crusade. I've been to a number of other crusades. Nobody ever adds that verse into the time. By the way, we want you to come to Jesus, and it's going to cost everything you have. This isn't Jesus's. He's not asking later. He's asking at the very front end. You want to follow me? Great. Here's the price tag. Everything. You mean you want me to give? Yeah, I want everything. You give it up. You give it to me. You get rid of it. You remember that story of the rich young ruler? Remember when he came up there, nice kid, they comes up to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, I want eternal life. And Jesus said, yeah, well, follow the commandments. You know which ones. And he says, I follow them all. I've loved my parents. I've not killed. I've not committed adultery. I haven't stolen anything. I've done this ever since I've been a child. And Jesus in Mark says, he looks at him and loves him and says, hey, here's the thing. I think you're awesome. All you got to do is two things more. Divest yourself of all your earthly possessions and come and follow me. And he says, oh, what? Divest yourself of all earthly possessions and come and follow me. And the kid goes, can't do it. Can't do it. And then Jesus looks at his disciples and says, it's going to be hard for rich people to get in the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples are stunned because they've always learned that rich people are blessed by God. He said, well, if that's true, how is anyone ever going to get into the kingdom of heaven? And I love what Jesus says. With man, it's impossible, but all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. God will get us in. Discipleship means that you sacrifice everything into the hands of Jesus. It is the decision of a life, and it's a life of decision. It's one of those things every day you got to say, today I follow Jesus. Today I'm going to follow Jesus. I love what Mark Driscoll has to say. I don't like a lot of things he says, but I like what he has to say. He says, salvation is a free gift. Salvation costs you nothing. We have been told this time and time again. Salvation occurs. Everyone loves it. Discipleship, on the other hand, costs you everything. Discipleship costs you everything. And all of a sudden, that hits us like a ton, and we don't know what to do with it. The call is to be ready to give up everything. Can Jesus have whatever you own? Yeah, I got a car I don't care all that much for. He can have that. Yeah, but can he have that which you hold most precious? Can he have your family? Can he have your creativity? Can he have your time? Can he have everything that you clutch? Can he have it? And then Jesus has this really odd little thing he says right at the end. He talks about salt. And it's like, what? Why are you turning a left? It's the same thing in the eyes of a disciple. Hey, here's the thing. Salt, essence of life. Totally required. It's used for preservation. It's used for seasoning. They used it in sacrifices. It was essential to life. Salt is good. But if salt loses its saltiness, and you're thinking, well, wait a minute. I learned in chemistry in high school, salt is always salty. How is this? Well, Palestinian salt is kind of like salt with other stuff. And the other stuff is kind of chalky and bitter. And if you have it in a bag, the HCl, I think that's salt, isn't it? HCl, whatever it is, leaches out. Huh? Okay, thank you. NaCl. NaCl, that leaches out, and all you got left is road dust. And he says, road dust is worthless. You can't put it in the field. You can't, it's not even worth for the manure pile. I mean, if you can't put it in the manure pile, I mean, that's pretty bad. You just chuck it. A disciple who isn't a disciple isn't worth anything. A disciple who isn't a disciple isn't worth anything. You and I are called to a unique and incredible life. You and I are called to a unique life in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, have you heard what I said? He who has ears, let him hear. Are you paying attention? Do you see what's being offered to you? Do you see what you have a possibility of being a part of? Are you willing to do it? That's the question you ask, not just this morning. It's going to be tomorrow morning. It's going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, on and on and on. Am I going to follow Jesus today? Am I going to do what it takes? Am I going to give up everything? Is he going to be the priority in my life today? How am I going to live? Whatever it takes. Is that our attitude? Whatever it takes. Whatever Jesus wants, I'm there. Whatever Jesus thinks, I'm in. Starts today. Are you going to make mistakes? Absolutely. Are you going to be more successful one day than another? Absolutely. But Jesus said, I want your heart, I want your mind, I want all of you. Are you going to do it? Do you have what it takes? Well, in Jesus, the answer is yes. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the answer is yes. So tomorrow, when you and I get up, the first thing we say, whatever it takes. In Jesus' name, amen.